Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
The following podcast is a Dear Media production.
Hey friend, it's Nicole, host of the Nicole Walters podcast. Here's where we laugh, we cry, and we grant ourselves grace as we do life together. Let's get started. Hey friends, I have had the blessing of having so many good friends here in studio chatting with me and bringing them to you to just let you hear lots of different perspectives around the main topic of sort of this season of life, this season's chats, and that's starting over. We are all constantly being called to start over, whether it is in our personal lives, in our businesses, in our careers, in our homes. Everywhere we turn, we have absolutely been called to scrape everything, start over, build anew, and be better. And what's great is that if we can get really good at starting over, one, acclimating and learning and knowing that it's going to happen, and two, finding the tools, resources, and people to support us when it does, we can actually handle life and we can do it together. So today I'm super excited because I have a good friend of mine, Lauren Chante, in studio, and she is a wellness guru. I mean, truly, what's amazing about her approach is it is whole body. And you all know that's how I feel. I am not about tackling just one thing. Having gone through physical changes, having gone through life changes, gone through business changes, mommy changes, I can tell you that you can't just tackle one area and think that everything else is going to fall into place. If you only focus on one, something else is going to fall out of balance. And what's great about Lauren is this is her expertise. She's truly someone who refuses to allow you to fixate on one thing as being wrong without looking at the whole well-being. And so Lauren, I am so glad you're here today to talk to us about the many places that you've started over and how you help women navigate the same.
Oh my gosh, I'm so excited to be here and connecting with everybody today. Thanks for having me.
Of course, of course. So first things first, what I love about you is one of my best dear friends, Nikki Elledge Brown, is a military spouse as well. Mm-hmm. She's also a mommy of three, and she is always, I mean, I've watched her as a close friend go through and navigate all the things that come with, you know, women who very much, especially when you're active duty, I mean, you are in service as well. Like I always say, you know, I love my teachers and I love my military moms because they literally are making it possible in so many ways for their husbands to serve. You know, you guys are truly in service with them. So thank you for that. I appreciate you and thank you to all the military moms out there. But tell us a little bit more about what that meant for your life, because on a base level, as a military mom, you could be packed up and moved and have to start over in a new city and not even know it's coming.
Yes. So my husband and I have been together since before he was in the military, which is kind of crazy.
So
I
remember it was a choice.
Well, I mean, you never choose who you fall in love with,
sure,
right?
Sure.
And so you have to, as I'm sure you've experienced in your life, when you really love someone, you have to also love their mm-hmm. calling and be willing to walk the journey with them. But just because you fall in love with a person who's destined to be in the military doesn't mean that you really understand everything.
Ain't that the truth,
that you're
girl.
Agreeing to.
It doesn't have to be the military. It's just hard to understand them sometimes.
So true. So in his 15 years of service, we've moved cross country 4 times.
When you say cross country, you mean back and forth?
Coast to coast. So The first time we moved was New York to San Diego to Camp Pendleton.
And that was actually great, I'm sure.
I was thrilled. We came off the highway in San Diego. I was like, honey, you're going to have to drag me kicking and screaming from this place. I was so happy. I was thrilled.
Well, literally, my friend Nikki was stationed in Hawaii.
Yeah, that can't be bad.
I mean, she truly was like, this is the best. I love this. So yeah, no, I get it.
But then they took me away. They took me from San Diego to Virginia. And we were in Virginia for 3 years, in Greater Washington, D.C. for just under a year. Then we moved back to California. We were in California for, gosh, I start to lose track of the numbers, but it was probably somewhere between maybe 5 and 6 years. And then we just moved to New York last year. So.
You know what's wild about that also? And I think this is something that's a great call out. Sometimes when you start over, it doesn't even feel like you're going to be, because 5 years is enough time to put down roots. Like 6 years is enough time to put down roots. I mean, when you move your life that way, whether it's into a new job or a new food or wellness lifestyle, or and you're spending 5 years in it, it's enough to feel like, is this who I am? You know what I mean? What's that like? Sort of planting roots as if we're staying, knowing very well that you may have to leave. What does that do to your psyche? How does that feel?
So our typical move cycle is actually 3.5 years or so, like 36 months at a place. And we just got lucky with that chunk in California that we were there for a little bit longer. So it's tricky because you have to make a really conscious choice that you're going to live the fullest, even though you know you're leaving.
Ooh, pause on that for a second. So many of us don't do that, knowing that the life we're in is our life, right? You know, and I love telling people life is for living. Like, that is whatever moment you're in, be present completely. So what you're telling me is you would know that once you get started approaching that 3 year mark. I mean, so even in San Diego, when you were there for 5 years, those last 2 years were kind of like any day now, like, because we're already past our point. And you were still like, I'm going to live as full as possible.
Yeah. And just to kind of add some color to flesh out the situation, we actually moved to two different places in San Diego. So we spent the first half of our time in La Jolla, and then we moved to North County for the second half, because it's really hard when you move across the country, you don't have a place to live, you're displaced. You kind of have to settle on the first place where you can get a roof over your head. And that's not always the best situation for your family, an emotional situation, financial situation, commute. So many times—
So everything's really tossed in the air. It's not just a matter of, oh, I'm moving and they've prepared a place for me. It's not like that. It's, oh, I'm moving, new school, new, possibly even clothes, supplies, things like that, just starting from scratch.
And you're responsible for figuring it out. It's not like someone goes ahead of you and it was like, look, we've prepared this lovely home for you. No, our last move to New York was at the height of the housing crisis. When we were given our orders to PCS, we ended up living full-time in our RV for 4 months before we were able to get into a home. And a lot of people are like, that's trendy right now, you know, doing the like off-grid living.
I mean, it's trendy if you choose it, girl. It's trendy if you choose it.
Yeah, yeah. And it was cool and I'm glad I had the experience, but it was not a choice. Like, we had to do that. There was nowhere else to go until I actually had to register my kids for school under the McKinney-Vento Homelessness Act in order to get them registered for school. And the social worker's calling me. She's like, do you need school supplies? Like, do you need food? Like, what do you need? I'm like, listen, we're not that type of homeless.
Right. Like, literally, we just are without a home.
Yeah,
presently.
We're military displaced. And so you don't get control over so much in that moving situation. And so for me, it's definitely about a combination of prospering where you're planted and making the decision that you're going to do the best you can, but also having so much grace for the fact that everyone has a limit and it's okay to have a limit. It's okay for the days that you have to break down in tears, or the days that your kids are ripping each other's hair out because you're living in a 32-foot RV with three children.
Yes.
And the days where you're just like, God, like, I know you put me here for a reason and I don't know what it is yet. And I'm going to choose to have faith that you put me here for a good reason, even though I want to stomp my feet like a toddler.
So I know right now that all of our friends on listening are like, you are speaking my language. Prospering where you're planted. So one of the things that I've been working on, not just in like prayer in my personal life, because I'm a God girl, but also in therapy, you know, is recognizing that the present is really all that I've got. And if I'm spending time worrying about what has happened or what will happen, then I'm not doing what I can in the now to make sure that I'm able to actually move forward. So, let's talk a little bit about how you work with people in wellness to prosper where they're planted. So I know that for me, if my housing is askew and off sorts, you know, 32 foot, you know, RV, I'm going to slack on my eating. I'm going to slack on my working out. I'm going to slack on, honestly, even work. Some days I'm just going to be like, it's too loud and I just can't do it. So knowing that you were still called to have to show up in all these places, what were you doing? And what have you known is like kind of my routine? As I shift from place to place, season to season, what are things that you already know where you're like, look, I'm going to put this into place so that I can make sure I show up?
Yeah, something I've always believed in is I believe in solutions. I believe that if you sit with a problem long enough, there is a solution that is going to show itself. And I think a mistake that a lot of people make is they leave the situation or exit the situation or give up on moving forward before they've allowed the solution to arrive. And it's hard because it requires a lot of patience. It requires a lot of learning to sit with your emotions and belief and faith. And for some reason, I'm just really blessed that that's something that I've always had, to be able to sit and wait for the solution. So whether it's in my real life or working with my students in my wellness intensives, I always just try to remind people that you have to control the controllable, and there's always something you can control. There's always something that we can pick to find the low-hanging fruit that you can pour your energy into to create forward movement.
Friend, you know that between having the kids and wanting to keep up with my health, there are a million things that are always being offered to us that is going to optimize that life. But the truth is, you're not even going to know what to optimize if you don't have an idea of what's going on inside of you. Now, I definitely have clarity around how I feel. I am stressed. I am tired. I am overwhelmed. These are all real things. But I need numbers so that I can have health optimization. And there's a lot of benefits around blood testing, lab work, all of that, which is why I've got to tell you about Inside Tracker. I want you to know that they use data from your blood, DNA, fitness trackers. All of these things provide a comprehensive look at what's going on inside. An Inside Tracker gives you personalized and science-backed recommendations on things you can do to take control of and optimize your health. Things like food choices and supplements, workout and lifestyle things, especially around optimizing your sleep and your stress. Inside Tracker tests and provides optimal ranges for over 40 biomarkers, things like your testosterone, your cortisol, that stress girl, and ferritin, that's your iron, vitamin D, we out in the sun? We need to be. I want you to know that Inside Tracker will give you info on all of those things. And the thing I love the most about Inside Tracker is that it's strictly science-backed, everything that they do is. So if your specific biomarker is unoptimized, they're providing you recommendations that are backed by dozens of peer-reviewed studies and personalized to you. This process was actually set in place by their founders, and it includes experts in aging, genetics, and biometric data from Harvard, Tufts, and MIT. We cannot play with our health, which means that everything we do has got to be science-backed. So for a limited time, you can get 20% off the entire Inside Tracker store when you sign up at insidetracker.com/Nicole. So if you're ready to get a crystal clear picture of what's going on inside your body, along with science-backed recommendations to optimize what's not working, visit insidetracker.com/Nicole. That's insidetracker.com/NICOLE to save 20% off today.
It can feel like things, especially in this day and age, you know, it's like I have friends right now who are just trying to get a handle on their wellness. And, you know, as anyone listening knows, all my good friends, I'm not one to prescribe any type of nutritional lifestyle. Like, I'm not saying you have to do this, you have to do that. So for some of my friends, whatever it is, it's included things like, well, I want to change some of my eating habits. Then what's out of their control? Price point. I mean, it has literally gotten even more expensive to eat well, you know, depending on what well looks like for you. And so it's, you know, they're just like, how I just started getting a handle on all this and now everything's out of sorts. So when you say controlling the controllable, what are some things that, you know, maybe variables that you think people can really look at and say, okay, I got some handle around
You know
this.
Where I want to bring people's attention to on this is kind of like a bigger picture and a bigger philosophy. A lot of us have this idea of wellness or weight loss or whatever your wellness goal is. I want you guys to fill in the blank on whatever that means to you, that there is some sort of black and white answer about what is right and wrong. I think a lot of us think, if I'm going to lose weight, I'm just going to go on Pinterest and I'm going to print out a meal plan. And as long as I follow the meal plan, then I'm going to wake up looking exactly the way I want to look in 4.5 seconds. Right. And that's really just not the way that human beings work, right? When we look at ourselves biologically and we look at ourselves psychologically and then we look at our lives, everything is so complex and so nuanced and so different from one person to another. And when we fail to respect the individuality of each person amongst all of these different areas where we can be different, then we literally deprive ourselves of being able to see the things that we have control over in our unique lives so that we can apply ourselves and create momentum.
That's so good.
So what I really try to empower people to do is to embrace the fact that there's no one-size-fits-all solution. I, as a wellness strategist, do not actually prescribe to one specific way of eating.
That's so important. My gosh, do y'all hear that? And the thing is, I'm so big on using my space to elevate the voices of the people who acknowledge and honor that we're different. Mm-hmm. There's so many people out there who are saying, well, if you want it to work, it has to be this. Rinse and repeat. Yeah. My formula is this, because people feel like, and I've talked about this, if you guys listen to previous chats, I've talked about it, how there's pride in saying, I don't know, or there's pride in saying, hey, it may be different for you, and honoring that uniqueness in it may not be our bodies, but it may be the circumstances or whatever, you know, is critical to actually getting success.
It is. And then being empowered with the tools, once you understand that you need to embrace being unique, being empowered with the tools to figure out, okay, great, now that I know that I'm unique and special, what the heck am I supposed to do, right? Mm-hmm. You can't just leave people sitting there and being like, don't do the black and white solutions, but then they don't know what to do next, right?
Right.
So where I really love to come in is teaching people how to take data on their bodies and their lives and then draw conclusions from that data to figure out what does this actually do when you implement it in real life. And something that I talk about a lot is everyone's unique wellness formula. What I kind of like to think of is a chess game. When you play chess, you want to win in as few moves as possible, right? And it's the same case with your wellness. When you're trying to be well, you want to do as little as possible to get yourself to that point where you tip and you're getting the results that you're looking for. So what I teach people is how to collect that data on themselves in really simple and easy ways, and then how to draw conclusions from that data about what's working for them or not working for them. And sometimes the thing that's actually most valuable is knowing what's not working for you. Mm. And in our current way of approaching not just wellness, but motherhood, life, marriage, when something doesn't work, we feel like it's a failure. What I really try to reframe with my students is, no, this is actually a really exceptional opportunity for collecting data on how your body doesn't work, on how your marriage doesn't work, on how your children don't work, on how weight loss is not going to happen for you, because then we can use scientific method and process of elimination to cross that off the list.
To apply.
Yeah, and move on to the next thing. And when you take that approach, it becomes something where self-sabotage doesn't occur as much. You're not going to be somebody who's constantly hopping on and hopping off every time you feel like—
Because you're not starting by telling yourself you can't.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? Which is part of the energy, I think, that goes into so much of it is saying, oh, I can't. So for instance, you know, using exactly your method here and applying it in a very personal way to my marriage and my relationships, which is something I've talked about a lot here. You know, it could be so easy for me to say I have failed at a marriage and so I am not able to find, engage in, or deserving of love in the future. But instead, you know, I choose to believe what God has said about me, which is that, no, like, you know, this just didn't work during this season, this time, this circumstance. And what I have learned are all the things I do need. Maybe I had what I needed during that time, but the person that I am now needs this going forward. And this is how I'd like to show up, you know, and I've sought out what actually serves me here. And so you're right. I just treated my previous marriage as a whole ton of data, you know, and I'm using that data, sifting through it with the help of therapists, my pastor, and prayer, my own well-being, and again, a lot of therapy, you know, to figure out how to read that data. So you're saying that's how you work with people is, hey, take a circumstance, take where you are, collect your wellness data, and let's read it together to now figure out what tools and things you need to build the life that best suits you.
Exactly. And I mean, I've been in my field for, I feel like it's more than 15 years now. I have my master's degree in my field. I've been doing this for a long time. So I can sometimes come in and I can help people see options that they couldn't see before.
Oh, for sure. You're like a Google of wellness.
I am. It's like, it's a little disturbing. I'm like a human encyclopedia.
Yes.
But it's all for the purpose of when I present the options and the information that maybe people don't have access to, of putting my students at the center as the expert on their own lives. And I think that we forget.
I mean, they are though, right? Because you're in it every day, you
know? People forget that I, as a coach, don't know what's going on in your home. I don't know everything that's going on with your children. I don't know everything that's going on in your head.
And girl, people don't even tell you. Let's just tell the truth. You know what I mean? Like there is, I can honestly say, and some of y'all may disagree, some of y'all may spill to everyone. I tell my therapist a lot, but there's also a revealing nature in what I don't feel comfortable saying to my therapist right away. Because there are times where I'll reveal something to her and she's like, oh, you've been carrying that for a while? And I'm like, yeah, either I didn't think it was important enough to share, or I wasn't ready to share it, or maybe I didn't have clarity around sharing it. And how can someone advise you best if they don't know all those pieces? And so even if it's an unintentional not sharing. So you're right. Yeah. Empowering people to know that they are the experts in their life and that others cannot speak into it because they don't know all the information is so important. And every single person I bring on here for our chats or that I introduce my friends to, that if you guys haven't noticed yet, that is a ongoing theme. I refuse to bring or introduce anyone to you that I feel is going to strip you of your right and power and expertise to listen to you. And for those of you guys who are God girls or women of faith, that relationship you may have with God to use that to lead what you want to do. And I think there's just so much of that online with these, you know, I'm just going to say it because you can't, unqualified wellness gurus out here who are not trained in their expertise, who do not have that approach, who feel like it's like, no, I have come up with a science and a formula and girl, this is what you're going to use. Yeah. And if you don't use it and if you haven't used it, then you're the fault. You're the one who's wrong. You're the problem. And that is just so harmful. And what I love about you is you do not prescribe to that. As a matter of fact, you have found success specifically not doing that.
Yeah. And honestly, that was only from my own experience of almost becoming damaged goods myself.
So let's talk about that. It's so easy for us because we just dove right into like my business and what we know works. Let's talk about your story a little bit because I mean, yes, obviously you have the master's, you have the degree, the certifications, you have truly spent time becoming qualified in your craft, but you also have the experience.
Yeah.
So let's talk about where you are because I know and you know, I'm just going to push you to say it. You've dealt with, you know, some issues around disordered eating. Mm-hmm. So let's talk about how you got there and how you got out of it.
Yeah. And I love sharing my story about disordered eating because it is the root of everything that I do now. It is the reason I am an entrepreneur. Mm-hmm. And I honestly didn't even realize it was the root of my story until I was on another podcast like this. And it just started like spilling out on air. And I was like, wow. So anyways, my story is after I had my oldest child, I already had my master's degree in exercise science. I'd already been a celebrity personal trainer. I'd already worked with professional athletes. I was a good 5 years into my career.
You're technically doing it right, which is what we always hear. You've done it right.
I was supposed to be an expert on weight loss already. I had positioned myself as an expert. And there I found myself after having my oldest child really struggling to lose weight in a way that was extremely emotionally crippling. I was really feeling the weight of being a woman in the fitness industry. I had always been told when I worked in luxury gyms and when I did celebrity personal training that people will hire you based off of how you look, not how much you know. And so it was really weighing on me during that period. Like, I have to get back in shape. I have to lose the baby weight.
So it wasn't even like, you know, and I think this is so important to call out on your end. It's not like you slipped in your system. You know what I mean? Like you're like, no, like I'm working out, I'm eating well, but I do something totally natural and appropriate. I had a baby, okay?
Yes.
And now my body is acting differently and it's affecting not just how I feel about myself, my clothing, my energy level, but it's affecting my work. So all aspects are now impacted.
Yeah. And at that time, I was staying home with my son. I was not working. We had just done a cross-country move from California to Virginia, just having that transition of being a first-time mom with my oldest. So my identity was all over the place. Mm-hmm. Our marriage was going through adjustments. We were in a brand new place. And it was really and truly my first time trying to really lose weight. Wow. I had never super had to do that before, maybe like 5 pounds here, 5 pounds there. But it was my first like real raw weight loss experience.
Yeah.
And I could not stick to anything. I could not stop eating all the carbs. I was binge eating. I would eat food out of the trash.
Oh my gosh.
I just was like, and I was like looking at myself with such shame. I'm like, I am supposed to be an expert on this. Like I'm supposed to show up and I'm supposed to be disciplined.
Well, and you've been teaching people about it, but now you're relating on a level that's like, oh my gosh, I really understand this, which isn't it amazing how sometimes God gives us certain struggles and it just deepens our understanding for the work that we do. Like, holy cow.
Yes. And I understand that now. Right. Mm-hmm. But in that season, I got so frustrated. I had a big binge one day and then I went into my downstairs bathroom and I knelt on the white subway tile and I stuck my fingers down my throat and I made myself throw up. And I remember my son, my 18-month-old son was playing in the other room and I went and I left him in the other room to go make myself throw up. Wow. And I remember getting up from the toilet and just feeling that like trauma brain that you feel, that numb feeling when something really awful has happened
to you. Just out of body, that awareness.
And exactly, out of body. And just getting up and walking into the other room and watching him playing and just, and this moment happened. And I, in hindsight, I recognized that I should have felt like something was wrong with me. Like I was the problem. Like I had let myself get to this point. Like there was something flawed or broken about me. But instead, I heard this voice, and I was not a Christian at the time. Now I believe it was the voice of God just saying, you are not the problem here. And in that moment, I knew that everything that I had learned about weight loss, dieting, exercise, women's issues, what it means to be a mother, what it means to be a wife, that all of those things were wrong. Ooh. If I was this expert and I was in this position where I had been literally brought to my knees with frustration that there was something else going on that did not have to do with me being flawed and broken.
Oh,
and so,
my word. Talk about, like, can I just say there are women right now listening to this that are in this season that I don't know what it is about the similarities in sort of what crisis feels like in your life, but coming to that point where you just say to yourself, something is deeply wrong here. And it is outside of self. I know, even though my moment looked different than yours, it's the same sort of thing where you walk back into this life that you've built almost in a stupor where you're like, I have hit all these marks. I'm looking at my sweet, sweet babies and something is not right. And I don't even know where to get the answer. What on earth has happened to me and how did I get here? So you're at this crisis pivot moment. What do you do next? Like truly in that moment, what do you do next? You just pick up your baby and keep moving? Do you cry? Do you what do you do?
Well, I did a Nicole, which is making the next right choice.
Fries. And, That's me. I eat French fries.
And I don't remember exactly what I did that day, but I know that within that year, I had registered myself for a different type of nutrition certification. I started looking for knowledge, and the research for me never stopped. I'm a scientist at heart. My undergraduate degree was a pre-med degree. I'm a giant science nerd. I'm a research nerd, but I wasn't just focusing on nutrition and exercise science anymore. I was studying psychology, reading behavioral psychology textbooks, studying sociology, anthropology, women's issues. Like you would have most women don't understand how important it is to understand women's issues and how women oftentimes carry the mental load in families.
The messaging that we're receiving and how that impacts all of our decision making.
And we incorporate so little of those other areas into our understanding of wellness and weight loss. Like I said, we're like, let's just go on Pinterest and print out the plan. But there's just too much woven into the fabric of it. So through the course of that, I ended up discovering that there were very real biological and physiological reasons that I was binge eating that had to do with what dieting does to your system. And if I had let myself label myself as an emotional eater or as a binge eater, instead of looking for those very real reasons that originate in your brain and in your body that cause you to want to eat when you are not eating, I would have thought I was the problem. I would have let that shape my identity. And I mean, nobody feels good when they call themselves an emotional eater.
Oh, yeah.
That never feels good.
It doesn't feel good. Yeah.
And
it also feels like almost like once you have the definition, it's just easy to label it and then just be like, that's just what that is. I'm eating my feels. I'm moving on. When I get out of my feels, I'll stop doing this. But the truth is, feels are always here.
Right.
So what do you do about that?
And we have to be careful of labels because they become interwoven into the fabric of our lives and interwoven into the fabric of who we think we are. So if we're going to label ourselves as something, we need to be very conscientious that we're choosing the right label. And I truly feel that with the wellness industry, emotional eating, and a variety of other topics, that because we've had to make fitness and nutrition marketable, we've had to dumb it down to that fourth grade level. You always talk about that in your program.
Yep, so people can understand it.
And we've simplified it so much that very critical pieces of understanding have been lost. And because of that, women everywhere are choosing labels for themselves that are no longer appropriate. And that's where I really try to come in as a wellness strategist and help women to redefine their labels around themselves, to shift their toxic mindsets around wellness to ones that are actually constructive. And ultimately, most of the time, you know, we do talk about nutrition, we do talk about exercise, but 99% of the time, my students are shocked that we end up talking about everything else during their sessions.
Well, it's true. Because, I mean, when I tell you, it's especially because we're always told that we have to be solution-oriented. And honestly, as moms and as sisters and as, you know, young women in our 20s trying to get out there and be great, you know, we have so many things that are on our to-do list. You know, I want to be successful in my career and I want to make sure my kids are good and I want to make sure I, you know, find the right partner and all these things that honestly, wellness feels like it has to tuck within those things because we didn't even realize that the messaging is that wellness is secondary. And what's wild that, I mean, literally I am knocking up on my 40s and I am just now learning and appreciating this sort of shift, because, you know, over time we've gotten more data, we should be applying it, right? You know, and we're learning so much more about women just literally saying, no, I'm embracing rest. I'm embracing softness, because that can be a priority and I can tuck these other to-do list items within that. And that is such a powerful, I don't want to say bucking of the society's notions, but a recalibration around how we should view ourselves. And that's one of the things I love about you, is wellness isn't necessarily secondary. Wellness and prioritizing that can help empower us to hit that to-do list.
Yeah. And I want to take us in a perpendicular there, because I think a lot of times people think that wellness has to be in the second seat because it seems so involved. Yes. It seems like 5 a.m. workouts and joining CrossFit and packing all your food
too,
in Tupperware.
Right?
It is.
Mm-hmm.
But when you think that that's what it takes to become well, of course you're going to put it in second position.
Right.
There's no way that that's going to be sustainable.
Right.
In a way, it's actually women being really smart. They're looking at that and they're like, I'm not even going to waste my energy on that, because I know that that is not realistic or accomplishable for me. Mm-hmm. And I know that I'm not going to come out of the other side of that effort with success.
And so I know I'm not even going to go there. Other things and other priorities.
Exactly.
So honestly, just even our way of, and guys, look, this is how Lauren is, literally recalibrating our thoughts around what we have been saying to ourselves is, oh, we've been putting ourselves on the back burner, we're bad because of it.
Mm-hmm.
She's saying, no, actually, that's just a sign of how effective we are, because we're prioritizing the things that we know that we may have the energy for. So right there, that's a mind shift right there. Don't beat yourself up because you've done that.
Yeah.
You know, just use that as a sign of how effective you are.
Friend, you have known this whole time that you've been fed a line about what works and what doesn't.
Good.
You've known, but because there's this programming that if you don't just do it, there's a major brand that uses that line, you know, I'll know who I'm talking about, that there's something wrong with you. You're not motivated enough. You're not disciplined enough. You don't want it bad enough. Your priorities aren't right. There's something inherently that's flawed about you. And I say sometimes that I feel like the dieting, wellness, and weight loss industries are gaslighting a little bit.
Ooh.
It's like that toxic marriage where it's like you're bringing your issues to the table and the other person is just making you feel as if you're the
crazy
one.
Change yourself. Fix yourself. You're the problem.
Exactly. Yep. And that is exactly the messaging that we are getting from our wellness, weight loss, dieting, fitness, franchising, and branding out there, is like, it's all about you. And my friends, that is gaslighting.
Yes.
Our responsibility as educators, as professionals, is to meet you where you are at. If you are truly unmotivated, lazy, undisciplined, don't have the right priorities, which is not true, but if it were, it is my job to meet you there and provide you a solution that gets you results regardless of your inherent weaknesses.
Ooh.
That is education. That is coaching. That is true wellness. You should not have to be perfect in order to be well. Being well isn't something we are all entitled to as human beings.
Lauren is preaching on today, y'all.
I
know, listen, y'all, if you could see, we came here just to hang out in Kiki and we're having a whole sermon, okay?
Yeah.
But it is true. I mean, it's one of the things that I've always been so, so big on is, you know, you shouldn't have to be wealthy to be well. You shouldn't have to be privileged and grow up in a certain advantageous life in order to be well. You shouldn't have to, you know, fight this messaging every single day to be well. And it's amazing to hear someone who has dedicated their life to this business, to this craft, to tackling these demons that are constantly in the world telling us that, you know, wellness has to be secondary. Because if you're focusing on, I mean, I'm not even kidding. I have heard women who are told they're overweight and don't look great and need to exercise. And those same women, when they start exercising, if you meet them at that moment, saying to them, you care too much. I've been that woman. Let's just keep it all the way real. People have seen me over the past 12 years weigh 100 pounds more and weigh 100 pounds less. And I have been told when I was 100 pounds heavier, you know, oh, I can't take you as seriously as a business owner because you can't even control what you put into your mouth. Mm. You know, like you can't even do, you know, your body and your health aren't a priority. How do I know you're doing anything else well? Like I've had that messaging. But then I've also had the messaging once I have made changes in my lifestyle, which again, were for health, never for appearance, never. Not that honestly, if I did it for appearance, I'm allowed to do that too.
Absolutely.
But I did it for health just because I have babies. And for me, it was really important to make sure I could just keep up with them. I didn't feel good in my body, but I felt good appearance-wise. I didn't feel good health-wise. But that being said, once I lost the weight, you know, and going through some of these marital changes, people literally have said, you know, oh, well, it's because you think you're too good now. Oh, it's because you've gotten better. Oh, it's because you've, and it's this weird thing where it's like, literally, like my marriage had issues when I was heavy and it had mm-hmm. issues when I was, you know, smaller. Like neither one is the factor. And the fact that I feel healthier, I'd be totally and completely not being forthright if I said that when you are healthier and you feel good about yourself and you have more energy, you know, it definitely does change your approach to things. Mm-hmm. You know, the way that you're saying that, you know, getting a handle over your wealth does help me tackle that to-do list better, but it isn't something that where it changes your belief system around who you are. And I think that that is, again, a product of the messaging from outside where, you know, like you're just saying, oh, well, if I'm able to be thin, then I can do this thing.
Yeah.
If I'm able to, you know, be healthier, then I can do this thing. No, girl, if you can't do that thing before, you're not going to magically be able to do it after because someone has to meet you where you are.
Wellness should be something that lets you be more of who you already are, not something that you're using to try to change yourself into someone else. And I try to talk a lot to my students at appropriate times about making sure that we're not using our wellness goals as an opportunity to hustle for our self-worth. Because a lot of people come in the door, and I have, because I'm one of your students, Nicole, I have a lot of integrity about who I will work with in my intensive.
That's right. Not everyone gets it. That's right.
And that's a red flag for me. When I hear someone hustling for their self-worth, when I have like an introductory call or something, I will send them to a therapist. I will send them someone else. I will say, this is not the time for you to work with me. You have a journey to go on first, because that is not the point of wellness. It is to amplify who you already are, the parts of yourself that you already love. It is not to help yourself find love that you never had for yourself.
Ooh, and it's so important because, again, that messaging is messaging of marketing. That's not the messaging of wellness. You know, marketing tells you that if you get this lipstick, you will like your lips more. If you get this food, you will feel better. If you get this, you know, outfit, you're going to like yourself more. If you have this wedding, this thing. And it's amazing because so much of your early 20s, you know, and honestly, for some of us into our 30s, it's spent feeling like the happiness is a destination or an object that if we acquire it, we'll suddenly be okay. And we're told in your 20s, find that partner, find that house, find that job. And what's crazy is we don't realize how those that same mindset doesn't serve us going into our 40s. Once we've gotten a lot of those things, we start saying, well, Is it that I need to move the object? Like you said, chess pieces. Is it that I go someplace else to find that happiness? And I've shared here time and time again, I have had it all from the outside material, even emotional aspect. You know, like I know what it's like to feel the love and warmth of a traditional family structure. And I can tell you that, again, if you don't have that love of self, you know, if you aren't working on self and how you show up in the world, you're going to keep coming back to it because you're not well.
Yeah, and, so true.
And I love your approach to it. It's so good. So just as simple takeaways, you know, I know that a lot of women right now are having light bulb moments. They're listening and they're saying to themselves, I didn't realize how sort of deep this thing runs, you know? And I've had that moment, much like you've had, where I've knelt on the floor, whether it's in prayer or in crisis, you know, and said, something's got to change. What are the best next steps that you recommend if someone is listening now and finding themselves in that place and saying, look, you're right, my mindset's not right, you know, and I'm ready to shift into living well. You know, what does that look like?
Yeah, for me, the first step is always to guard the voices that you're allowing in your head about wellness. Because now, after this conversation, there's a line that's probably been drawn in the sand for you between the way that you used to think about things and the way that you now know you need to think about things. And there are going to be a lot of people in your life, a lot of people online who are going to continue to perpetuate the old way of thinking. And you have to really protect yourself from those other voices and really try to surround yourself with people who are saying different things. Community is so important. And I think that when you make this shift in the way that you think about your wellness, it can be really hard because the people around you aren't going to understand it immediately. So you need to go and you need to seek and find people. Like, the internet is an amazing thing. You can go out, you can find communities. I would love to have you come listen to my podcast, Rock Your Wellness with Lauren Shante, so you can hear my voice in your ear telling you these things, you know, just find that community is the first step.
Yeah, and that's good.
The second one is you have to give yourself permission for the journey. I know Jada was on your podcast. I love Jada. She talks about the slow cooker versus the pressure cooker. And we have such a culture of wanting instant results and instant understanding. And you know, when I work with my students, I prefer to work with them for like 6 months to a year. If I could keep people for that long, that's what I would do, because that is like the minimum that you should expect to really see like a huge overhaul in your thinking and in your habits. Mm-hmm. It is a journey. Stop letting people sell you quick fix solutions. Stop looking for them and stop being surprised when you do them and it ends up the same place that everything else has ended up. Give yourself permission to be that cookie dough that needs to bake into a cookie, right?
Oh, it's so good. So the first piece is finding community and mm-hmm. resources, mentorship, people to support you in that shift that you're desiring. Because obviously the same way we're getting messages from society every single day telling us to be, think, do, label one way, we've got to find sort of like a Jada Selner said, the anti-hustle, right? And like you're saying, the other form of wellness, which is people who are speaking into our life. They can listen to your podcast, Rock Your Wellness, you know, and get that support and that messaging to counter those thoughts. Because if we're getting it all the time, 100%, you know, we better seek it out at least 20%, you know, to like to remind us that this is better. So, so true. And then, of course, you know, that secondary part is obviously give it time. Yeah. Give yourself permission to take that journey. I always like to tell people, if I told you, you know, in building your business, because obviously I consult people with their businesses, that, oh, well, you'll make $1 million. It'll just take 5 years. Would you stop being so frustrated in these first 6 months? Because you know that you'll get there and this is the date and when. And every single person is always like, oh, of course. Well, if you know that that's the case, then why are you screaming and hollering and having a fit and quitting in the first 6 months if I told you no matter what, you'll get here? Mm-hmm. And I think that that is so true about what you're saying about wellness. It took me 6 years before I could really look back and say, okay, I've stabilized. This is where I'm going to be. This is my new norm. But I still get fluctuations. You know, it's just that now I give myself so much more grace with them, you know?
That's so true. And then just giving yourself permission to trust yourself. Trust yourself as being the expert on you and your life. I think we're always seeking an outside solution when it comes to wellness. I think in some cases, if you're working with the right person who is giving you outside advice, that's amazing because they're going to help you to compress time so that you can get to the result faster. Mm-hmm. But in the end, you are still the expert on your journey and you're the expert on yourself.
That's so good. And I think that one of the things that we can kind of talk about candidly here is, you know, we've been so blessed to be able to work together, you know, and I think that where we've been able to have a lot of success is because of the fact that we have similar mindsets around stuff. So even if I say, hey, Lauren, you know, this is how I think you should approach this, this, and this about your business, but take it back to you, take it back to God, take it back to your system, your family, whatever. And what I love about you is you'll say, in this season, with my kids, this ain't gonna work for me, Nicole. Yeah. I will hold this piece of what you're saying, but right now I've got to get through these bullet points because it's not worth me jeopardizing these things that I know about myself. And I'm like, cool, do you, circle back, we'll do what we got to do, you know? And then in other seasons, you know, being able to say, oh no, I got to push through, you know, like this is something where I really do need to stick with it because, you know, I can see that this might be a perspective I did not have before, you know?
So
and
true.
I think that, again, that circles back to your point number one, who do you have in your circle?
Yeah.
Who do you have around you who's speaking life into you? And with that, I want to say thank you so much, Lauren, for taking time to speak life into us. You know, it's always my goal here to expand the circle of people that are introduced to, you know, my dear friends here and to be a different voice in all of this internet mess, you know, of reason, of sensibility, of responsibility. And I'm just so grateful that you're out in this world with your gifts and teaching the way that you do. So thank you so much.
Oh, thank you, Nicole. I'm really grateful to be able to share this with everybody.
You're amazing. Where can people find out more and work with you if, you know, they're ready to take that journey?
Yeah, I would love you guys to check me out at laurenchante.com, C-H-A-N-T-E. And then you can also grab my podcast on your favorite podcasting platform, Rock Your Wellness with Lauren Chante. We're on season two. It's really fun.
Yes, it's really fun. It's really good. Oh my God. Thank you so much, Lauren, for being here. Everyone, follow Lauren. Listen, take care of yourself because you absolutely deserve it. Thanks for being here, Lauren.
Thank you.
Another great chat. Oh, I love spending time together. Now I need you to subscribe, rate, and leave a review because I love hearing from you. And then come hang out with me on Instagram at Nicole Walters. I'll be back here next week. And I hope you are too. See you there, friend.
Please note that this episode may contain paid endorsements and advertisements for products and services. Individuals on the show may have a direct or indirect financial interest in products or services referred to in this episode.